welcome to Under the Circle, the only podcast that'll make you butt slam a beer and jump out the window. I'm Joe Harris.
Justin Staler.
Jesse, go forth.
All right, guys. Thanks again for all the support that you guys have given us over, you know, just the past 2 weeks. And we're already up to 155 people on Facebook. That is super rad. We are definitely all about the support. Definitely keep it up. Keep telling all your friends about it. Keep, you know, telling bands to check us out. And if, you know, we dig it, we'll bring them on. So, Justin, what is what's first up here today?
First up, we got to throw out big thank yous to Remember Paris and With Honors.
Definitely.
Those guys have been super, super supportive throughout this whole thing, getting at us, asking us questions. Guys from Remember Paris sent us their EP just without us even asking.
Definitely.
They're just like, listen to it now. And yeah, so you know, that's them on the opening of the podcast.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely going to give a shout out to those dudes. No. They've definitely been putting in work for a while, and you know, might as well somebody, you know, give them some recognition. Yeah. So
let's get big together, guys.
And definitely, yeah. Definitely, for sure.
Yeah. And we got a guest on the show today.
And we do have a guest on the show. My dear friend, Chad Lear from This Is Me is here. Chad.
What's up, Indianapolis and surrounding areas? And also known as the world.
Also known as the world.
Yep, getting under the circle here. Well, all right.
Son.
I asked Facebook before we went on if anybody had any questions. And, of course, With Honors Dudes asked us a question. They want to know, basically, to everybody, what does everybody like more, house shows or shows at venues? And that's a good question, because it depends on, you know, you're going to be cramped at either, you know, at a local show.
Yeah, depending on, like...
It just depends on if you're there. I think it really depends on if you're there for a really good time, then I think you would prefer a house show. If you're there for quality, you would probably go to a venue sometimes.
Right.
You know, yeah. Not all the time you get quality.
I mean, definitely with Rumor, but like Rumor has its side of things. Like, we definitely love playing house shows. Like, I mean, there's nothing to me that's more fulfilling than seeing, like, you know, 50 kids just acting like complete jackasses in a basement. Just, you know,
absolutely.
getting completely just ruckus in some rando's house.
Absolutely.
Like, I just think that's completely awesome. Like, we played a house show, God, when was that, like a month ago at our friend Mariah's, and that was just silly. Like, just absolutely silly. Like, kids hanging from the ceilings.
Done that before.
Somehow there was, like, a hole punched in her kitchen wall.
Yeah,
we still have no idea what happened with that.
Yeah, like, I mean, shit happens. You know?
Yeah, and like, and we played some awesome like venue shows too. Like we played this one in Lebanon last night at Boonaroo. Also, thanks to everybody that came out to that. Man, I felt like we were Van Halen. Like, giant stage, PA, lighting rig, sound guy from Verizon was working it.
Like David Lee Roth Van Halen?
Yeah, not Van Hagar.
Okay.
Yeah, no Van Hagar.
Let's get that shit.
If you're
trained,
saying, like, ain't talking about love Van Halen, then I would say, hell yeah, he's living the life last night then.
Yeah.
If you're going to say, like, I can't drive 55, or, like, it's got, like, why can't this be love Van Halen?
Oh, no. Dude, I'm talking Jump, Panama.
Nice.
I'm talking classic Van Halen. Yeah. None of this Van Hagar or Van Sharon or whatever.
Van Shred. Yeah.
You know, woof. But yeah,
but
like,
anyways, yeah.
Yeah, it really definitely depends on like on the situation, really. Like if it's if you're looking just for a more like intimate setting, definitely.
I mean, and you're in a band, so you have a different perspective than just
than
a normal goer, than just a goer.
Yeah, like,
even though you are a goer, sometimes you're still in a band. So
oh, totally,
you
totally.
Kind of
like I could definitely speak on it from both perspectives.
Yeah.
Like certain bands, I would definitely prefer to see them in like a more intimate setting of like a basement show.
Right.
But there's some bands that I just want to see like full fucking blowout, like huge.
stage dives, high fives.
Yeah. Totally. Abs.
Vogelism.
Yeah, vogelisms, yeah.
I want exactly 17 stage dives, no more, no less. Maximum output.
Chad, how do you feel? I mean,
you know, I haven't played a house show in a long time, but I think it comes down to, like, the science of it all. Mm-hmm. Is really, a house show promotes chaos. It promotes closeness. It promotes, like, you know, dare I say, like, you know, the highest level of intimacy I think you can really experience.
With a band and its crowd. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, even bands, I mean, if you think about bands, like, huge bands, like, South by Southwest is just one big house show.
Right.
If you think about
it. Oh, yeah,
it is. Like,
yeah,
it's all these big bands doing small little sets. And, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I'm not trying, and this is one of the things that bugs me the most about some bands in Indianapolis, thinking you're bigger than you are. You're not too good to play a house show.
Right.
You're not too good to play a house show.
No.
House shows are, if anything, the better way to connect with your fans.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
And so in that aspect, as far as a personal thing, I would say go for house shows, because then you're up close and personal with the band. You're going there with, it's like high-fiving your best friends in some fucking cut-off jean shorts, man.
Yeah.
It's just awesome.
Yeah,
Just living, you know? Yeah. And then sometimes, you know, those house shows turn into house parties.
Oh, yeah.
Then turn into Sunday morning hangovers, and everybody's into those.
Aaron Albritton. Have more house shows.
Once again, have more house shows. I'm pretty sure I have never been to a house show that did not end up in a party.
Right.
Yeah.
And the thing is, how many people, this is rhetorical, but how many people here and out there have met some of their best friends and better bands that they're in love with
now
more than the bands that came to see at a house party?
Oh,
right.
That's how the thing about that is, at the house party, you get to reminisce on the awesome show that they just put on, too, and it makes bands feel... It has to
And there's not somebody
amazing.
There saying, hey, get out, it's 11:15, if you're not buying merch, get the fuck out. Like,
That's really cool. Let's go drink a couple of PBRs and fight somebody.
What I would personally like to see is the house shows take it up a notch. And I mean this by... Just because you have an open space doesn't mean you should have a house show.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is a misconception.
That's true.
I would like to see people that have house shows take it up a notch. I'm not necessarily saying build a stage, but I'm saying provide a decent PA. Because really, the only thing that a venue has to offer is obviously, like, the business side of things. Like, hey, we'll definitely get you paid. You know, like, we'll make sure you sound the best we could possibly make you. And we're in a central location that has a reputation, so everyone knows how to get here. Which is great, but so many times you play these venues and you walk away like dissatisfied with the sound, dissatisfied with your set, dissatisfied with the amount of people that were there.
That does happen. Yeah.
But at a house show, I've never heard of anyone say, man, I played this house show last night, there was like 10 people there, 30 people there, it sucked.
Yeah, right.
It sucked. The sound guy was a fucking asshole, had my guitar way too low. Like, you don't hear that at house show. All you hear is, like, remember that kid that fucking punched the hole in the wall? I don't know what his name was, but I loved him. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't... I would just like to see, like... I just like to see the house shows go up a notch. Like,
totally.
You know, invest in some better sound equipment, especially if you're going to have it for a while.
You know,
put some Christmas lights up, you know.
Fuck yeah.
Make it feel nice. Get some good little couches. Like, take your first 10 house shows and all the proceeds that you don't give to the bands, which is a thing I highly think, because... Those bands, everybody's broke, so I understand everybody want money, but take some of that proceeds and put it back into your house show.
It's called
recycling.
Trip
arrows, baby.
Trip arrows.
Get some worthless shit kids can destroy and not feel bad about it.
And then 4 weeks later, get some more shit.
Like,
have garden gnomes you can throw at the band if you don't like them.
Right, dude.
Like, the Tibbs House actually did that when the Tibbs House was still around. Like, they had, like, full fucking PA. They had, like, Christmas lights around where the band was at. There was a couple couches down there, a table where, you know, bands could set up merch and shit. Right. And it was awesome. Like, it was totally cool. And, like, there was, like, a room in the back where, like you know, if you were in a band, wherever, you could, like, hang out.
Put your equipment and shit in
there. I mean, they did that, but also it really didn't matter because everyone was in there doing so much debaucherous things. Oh, man, I miss that place.
Oh, yeah. Just the good shit we take for granted in life.
Oh, dude, totally. Yeah. So it seems like, you know, even though there's a plus side to both, it seems like, at least in this room, like, we're all kind of like, house shows.
House show, yeah. For sure, yeah.
Oh, dude, yeah.
For the exact reasons you said. I mean, it's that chance to get up with the band and fuck shit up.
Yeah, you put it best when it's like finding your favorite bands. Like, like the first time I ever saw Swan was at Aaron Albritton's house.
Oh.
And those dudes.
They are the best. They are, I think, the best house show band.
I'm
seriously.
Yeah. Oh, like, they were.
That band was conceived to play house shows.
Those dudes,
they just bring it every time.
Like, yeah.
Oh, they do those dudes.
I haven't had the privilege of seeing them.
Oh, super good dudes too.
Oh, yeah. They are playing. They are playing with us Friday. Two different shows.
Yeah.
Two different shows. All.
Yeah,
I'll
they're playing at This Is Hardcore Fest in Muncie.
Yeah. Actually, we'll be playing with them three times that weekend.
Nice.
Yeah, we're playing at the ES Jungle on the 29th or on Friday. With Swan, Room Colored Charlatan, and a couple other bands. And then us and Swan are going to Mariah's as soon as we get done playing, and playing with William Bonney, Park Jefferson, and Pessoa.
Damn. Well, I'll catch awesome. You at the cockpit, then.
Dude, really awesome. Dude, nice. That show is going to be silly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I do like a good venue show, but I feel like anymore with venues, there's just too many restrictions.
Yeah,
it's not even just restrictions. It's just like aside from, I'm not going to call any venues out because obviously, like, most of us are in bands, and I don't want to, you know, burn bridges.
Oh, I totally.
But
said
I'm just
fuck the Emerson last week.
Well,
yeah.
I mean, everybody's got their own opinions on that for sure. But my thing is, venues do bring. There's a great, more cleanly,
it's true, stuff like that. Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, I hate to say it, but if people just brought their house show game up a little bit. Venues would be obsolete.
Yeah, totally.
Because,
totally.
Like, bands play a house show and might make $50 to $100 and then have their merch, like, right there. Kids don't have a choice,
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the fall of the music venue is the goddamn sensitivity with people anymore. Yeah. Seriously, nobody wants to get into a pit. Nobody wants to get stage dived on. Yeah, I mean, did you see that Trapped Under Ice show?
No,
I deleted them from my iPod after seeing that. Like, I used to dig some Trapped Under Ice real hard, and then at a show, some dude at stage dive. It's a hardcore show.
Yeah.
That shit happens.
We just jumped on his back, and then he got pissed off.
Yeah, and the singer of Trapped Under Ice, the vocalist of Trapped Under Ice, got pissed off and had the guitarist of Trapped Under Ice and a bunch of his flunkies beat the shit out of the kid.
Wow. Yeah.
For a stage dive.
I heard about that.
That's why venues and shit say no stage dives, no pits.
Yeah. Well, the reason why the Emerson has no
dive. Some kid got really hurt.
Well, no, here's the thing. Here's the thing.
Preach it.
Yeah.
It was my old guitar player. It was Jake Borden, actually. Mm. YouTube.
Okay.
Was when we the Hunters was together. It was Venables' CD release show 2 years ago. Jake jumped and climbed the monitor at the Emerson, stage dive. Whatever. Okay. Apparently, this chick says her back was broken.
Oh. Yeah, see, that's
highly quotating that.
Yeah. If you can see, he is quotating that like crazy.
I'm gonna break my fingers. It's so hard.
Yeah.
Like, and then they were threatening to sue him, sue the Emerson, blah blah blah. None of that happened.
Yeah.
She just didn't want to get jumped on.
That's
she was really walking weird. Around 3 weeks later, like, oh, I'm fine.
Yeah.
And I'm like, bitch, if you're
back. You had to make a big old stink about it. Like, come on.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, you know what? It's a hardcore show. You know what you're getting into. If you get in front and center
if you're
at a state,
if you're within,
you should know goddamn well.
You're not safe up against the rails.
You should know where to
stand. Yeah, if you're...
Stand in the back.
If you're within, 15 to 20 feet of either the stage or the pit area... You're asking to catch a stray fist or something.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Just watch out for yourself.
That
it's
should,
not really
that hard. That is, when I go to hardcore shows, that is something that I am very much aware of. That's something that I'm like, I go and I'm like, man, I'm going to throw down tonight. Or, man, I'm going to stand in the back and not get punched tonight. That's all it takes. That's all, like, I'm going to get in the pit or I'm not going to get in the pit.
The two things that I remember about, like, that I really am impressed by when it comes to venues not being restrictive.
Yeah.
And bands that are unlike this trapped under ice.
Yeah.
I went and saw Newfound Glory at the Egyptian Room, and this kid, they have this, no dancing, no crowd surfing, no stage running, anything. This kid crowd surfed, didn't hurt anybody. This guy, a kid maybe weighed maybe a buck 15.
Yeah.
Maybe, I've felt raindrops.
Newfound Glory.
Yeah, I felt raindrops that are heavier than this kid. and he's like floating around for a second, and he just gets yanked the fuck down by the security and gets carried out. And Chad Gilbert stops the whole song and says, "Don't kick him out. Don't fucking kick him out. If you fucking kick him out, we're done playing." And they got the kid almost all the way back. He goes, I'm dead serious. And he's like, "Bring him back." And so sure enough, they bring the kid back. And they said, "Don't worry, guys." And they were like, the security guy was like, "He has to stand over here." So the rest of the show, he had to stand by the security. But Newfound Glory said, and I quote, they're like, "Don't worry, guys. Next time we'll come back and we'll play someplace that's not this fucking awful."
Oh,
I was like, that was rad.
Yeah.
And that's a band that in our genre, in our, cup of teas, is like the piece de resistance.
That man
is Shai Helu to me.
Right. Yeah, totally.
Dude, I'm just like, are you serious? You're dating an icon in the, pop punk community.
Yeah.
That power pop punk.
Right, yeah.
You're an awesome freaking dude.
Yeah.
And like, I'm just like, that's a house show mentality.
Exactly.
On the stage. Like,
that's how every pop punk and hardcore band
should
be.
Man.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Should always
have that mentality.
Another thing that I really appreciated was my band played a show this weekend at the ES Jungle. And I don't mind saying this because Steven Zumbrum is the man.
Yeah, Steven,
he's a good dude.
We're gonna have him on here. We're definitely gonna have him on.
Because he's like, he heads up the Pyradical Productions.
Yeah.
He's a fucking Pyrad through and through.
Oh, yeah.
I love that dude. And we played, it's a long story, but drunkenly the night before we practiced like for 1 hour because all the other bands that were in had practiced that night too.
Yeah.
And for one odd reason or another, we just start playing a Blink-182 song, like, Carter Seton.
Damn It.
Just, yeah.
Like, I heard about that. Yeah.
And dude, I vowed never to be in a band that covered Damn It, because every other band I've ever been in wanted to cover it.
Dude, but it feels good.
But dude,
it?
I gave in. I gave in. 10 years in this fucking music scene, and I gave in. And I'll tell you what, I had some fun ass time that night. And Steven Zumbrum stage dove at his own fucking venue and fucking took out the right half of the stage. Like, there were girls, little girls, just like frozen in time. And he just like, boom, an elbow. And he's just like, we're just talking chaos. And then while that's happening, there's like a circle, like, not circle pit, wall of death thing going on. I'm serious. I've not had that much fun at a show.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's how true.
You're the venue owner. Like, you run the venue.
Yeah.
You're a promoter.
Show them how it's done.
You run two venues. He also runs the Hoosier Dome under construction, but still.
Yeah.
Like, and you're going to throw down,
That's good.
That's good business. That's good people. That's good business. I'll play a show for Steven Zumbrum if he asks me to in a heartbeat. Like,
dude
is good people. He hosts a piratical dinner every week.
Yeah.
And it's like people on Facebook, like, "Bring anything you want. Let's have a big family dinner every week." And I'm like,
that's rad.
That's awesome.
That's cool. It's literally like when he was telling me about it, like last time, Rumor Has It played there, it was the night of the Wonder Years show.
Yeah.
He was telling me about
rad. You get killed there.
Oh, dude, that. I'm still like, about that show. Dude. Just unreal. Like, but I was sitting there talking with Steven, and he was just like, "Yeah, I do this like pitch-in dinner thing just to get people interested in Pyrad and all this shit." Mm-hmm. And I was just like, "Wow!" Like, I was so blown away by it. I went home that night and wrote him like a four-page message on Facebook, like, "Dude, just thank you for being awesome and like running a great venue." Knowing what it's really about and all.
Well, we
knowing
need to have dinner with that dude then.
Yes, we do.
Fucking,
I think that should be a under the circle. I think you guys four in the next month should go to one of those things and report back.
I think people need to hear that. You talk to him, right?
Oh, yeah.
I set it up.
Oh, yeah, dude. I can, yeah.
Dude, let this guy cook whatever you want. Joe Harris.
Yeah.
He's the only local musician that I think rivals me in a cook-off.
Uh-oh.
I'm a beast.
We make it up.
But yeah, but that's another thing that you discussed, Chad, is that house show mentality.
Yeah, when he runs the venue, house show mentality.
That's how he runs the venue.
It's like that old saying. My dad used to say this all the time. Like when I'd like girls that were a little too prissy, he'd be like, "She's a champagne drinker on a beer budget." And that's what venues are anymore, man. Venues are champagne because they got the money to drink champagne. Mm-hmm. But I love beer. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yep.
You can keep it bubbly.
Yeah, I want the house show.
Give me a Miller High Life.
Seriously, you can take the boy out of the house show, but you can't take the house show out of the boy.
That's rad. Right. Right, dude. That's rad. Yeah. So, Joe, set that shit up because you're our insider here.
Oh, dude, yeah. I will definitely get at you, Steven. If you're listening to this, be on the lookout because I'm coming for you.
And we're gonna have dinner and talk. Blood. And then we may go on a leisurely walk, talk about things.
We're going watch Steel Magnolias and eat bonbons.
Oh, yeah.
Drink some Arnold Palmer's. Product placement.
Product. I'm going to take a drink of my Arnold Palmer right here. Hold on. Let me
slurp. Oh, yeah.
That's that Arnold P, baby.
Woo. Don't worry, kids. It's light.
Oh, yeah.
It won't stick to you too long.
It doesn't go to my ass like Gatorade does.
Arnold Palmer, golf legend and tasty treat.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, let's move on with the show. We did the product placement now.
We got paid.
Yeah.
We got paid.
Watch the lead now.
Yep, we're selling out quick.
We're selling out so quick.
Yeah.
Let's get rich.
We're going to do a questionnaire with Chad here.
This is me, of course.
Mm-hmm.
How did this band come to be?
Well, I'm just gonna say one thing. All I'm gonna say is my dad just texted me and he wants to know if I can work with him tomorrow, and I said yes just now.
Holler at your boy.
You just nice. Did. No,
getting that GOB.
I'm going to just
say, getting that job.
I want to put a disclaimer, though, because I don't want to come across as a prick or, like, fool myself or anything.
Yeah.
And being in a band that you started called This Is Me, it's kind of really advantageous. So I want to say I apologize because it wasn't supposed to be what it is now. But long story short. Pretty much, This Is Me started in direct descendant of My Hidden Track's demise, pretty much. Like, My Hidden Track broke up. It's been over a year, people. Let's just get over it. Quit calling me the guy from My Hidden Track. I appreciate it. I like being that guy because I love those songs and I love 78% of the dudes that were in that. mainly version 1.0 has always got a place in my heart, and Nick Coffing from version 2.0 has got my...
Nick Coffing's a great...
Yeah, you should check out his... He's been playing me some of his solo stuff.
Oh, really?
Holy crap.
Dude, I haven't heard anything...
I'm ready for him to blow up again. He's sitting pretty right now on some heartache, but he's coming out with some good shit. But
nice.
Pretty much This Is Me started as... I'll be honest, like, I don't want to sound shitty, but it was like, okay, you know, My Hendrick breaks up, and it's like... You know, their other project kind of came out of, you know, the people of, you know, the My Hidden Track kind of started another band really fast. And I was just like, I was angry. So I was like, okay, you know, pretty much This Is Me is going to be like, all right, well, this is you. You guys go do your thing. And I'm going to do my thing. And we're going to draw a line in the sand. And we'll see where everyone's loyalties lie, you know, kind of thing. So mm-hmm. I was like... You know, everybody was like, My Hidden Track is not just Chad Lear, and I completely agree with that. But at the same time, I was like, that I do have a lot to offer. So I was like, okay, so I started writing these jams. And then I got hooked up with Evan Roberts from My Indie Underground.
Uh-huh. And we graduated with Evan.
Such a good dude.
Yeah.
Badass poker player. Don't play him.
Oh, dude,
he will take your money. I played with that guy one time.
Yeah.
Robbed me of $5 and a Jimmy John salute. Seriously.
Oh, dude.
I'm challenging him right now. Grudge match, cage match, one night only. You and me, five car stud, happening.
You heard it right here, Evan.
So, but no, he got hooked up with me, and he was just like, hey, I'd really like to record some of your new jams, you know, hear about this. This is me that you're starting. And that's just what it was. Mm-hmm. I took marketing and I was just like, all right, here everyone is crying over the demise of My Hidden Track. And all they have to listen to is, you know, one side of the story, which was the Coast that came out, which is, I'll say it right now, Nick Coffin is the best, one of the best songwriters I've ever worked with.
That dude.
And Coast, as much as I disliked the fact that the band came in adjacent to our demise as a group, still some of the best songs. Like, he's just an awesome songwriter. He's a great musician and even better friend. So, like, I have nothing coarse to say about that dude at all.
He is a rostering guy.
But yeah, so This Is Me started as just me writing some songs about, you know, why My Hidden Track broke up, writing songs about why I'm such a fuck up, and why I can't keep a girl to save my life, even if I pay her and I've tried.
We all have bros,
you know,
okay,
I'm just saying. And so then I decided, like, what would be cool as crap is Indianapolis has not had a super group yet. So I was like, I'm just going to go around. And I mean, aside from, like, this guy from Ghost of Maine is now in this band, and this guy used to play in this band. You know, you always had that, but you never had a band that had everyone in the band was from a great band in the area that was past or present.
No.
And so I sought after, you know, in the words of Nick Coffin and Coast, I sought after the ocean. You know, I did. So I was like, I think the first person I talked to, Andy Heck asked me first and foremost, I think. He was just like, you know, let me know about your project because I think I'd really like to help you out. Carter Seaton was the first one to, like, say, I got to admit, I used to have my qualms with you, you know. Mm. You know, we had our things. And the thing is, I've never not liked anyone in the music scene, but I think, like, just things happen.
Yeah.
People, miscommunication, man.
Oh, dude, totally. Yeah.
People, like, you say one thing about, oh, I don't like hardcore, and then the next 500 people come up to you.
Yeah,
and then
it's like, you don't like
because you hate everybody in hardcore scene.
Yeah.
Fuck you. And I'm like, that's not it.
Right.
You fucked my girlfriend. I'm sorry. I probably did. I'm sorry. I didn't know you were together.
My bad, man.
My bad. There's a Hallmark card for that somewhere, and it's your name on it, man. I'm sorry. You know? But,
you should put a bumper sticker on that.
But that's what happened, man. I mean, I just decided. So then Carter Seaton just heart-to-heart was like, I'll help you out, man. I'd love to. And then Yari Nation. I never thought Yari Nation and Carter Seaton and I would ever be in a band together. Like, Andy sat in for track quite a few times on drums just to help us out when we're in between people. But, man, being in a band, Carter Seaton is the second best bass player I've ever played with. Ryan Thomas from the Olympians.
Ryan Thomas is a kid that I do not see enough of.
Yep.
Like, I haven't seen that dude in months. I haven't heard Olympians since July.
That was one of the questions we got on our Facebook, is whatever happened to Olympians?
I can answer that to some degree. Pretty much their drummer, Ryan Draper, is this is unofficial. I don't want to say, like, I've talked to them and this is their official message. I'm just saying he got into some grad school programs for his percussion, in different states. So he's been working towards getting that done. They're writing new tunes.
Yeah.
But they're going to be playing in this summer.
Awesome.
But they just wanted to take some time off and write new songs because, I mean, and to be honest, like, it's a risky move, like, stop, like, playing all the time and then to stop playing.
Right. Yeah.
But yet, when they come back, they're going to come back with amazing songs and back with a vengeance. And I'll be honest, Olympians is my top five favorite bands in Indianapolis.
Easily.
I'm not going to bullshit and say I love every band I play with and everybody's my friend.
Mm-hmm.
I do like a lot of people and I do like bands, but, like, the bands that, like, will stick with me and I will listen to and, like, I will tell other people about, Olympians is right there in that top five.
Right on.
I saw them one time play a show. I saw them play at the Tibbs House with Pessoa, Kalum, and Six Gallery. And I was completely blown away.
You love that Six Gallery, too.
That man rolls so hard. But, like, and, like, I remember seeing, like, watching Olympians open up, and I was just like, why have I not listened to this band?
It's like everybody in that band knows how to play every instrument under the sun, and everybody in that band sings, and it's just like, you know, it's great.
It's the only band to use a trumpet that's not a ska band.
Yeah, true.
And they do it flawlessly.
There's a band I think they're based out of Bloomington, called Alexander the Great.
Ryan Thomas got me into them too. Like Alexander the Great, husband and wife.
Husband and wife.
Is really we saw Alexander the Great with Lydia and.
There's a band that needs to come back.
Yeah. Lydia, what was it?
I remember the show.
I can't remember.
Wasn't it?
All the Day Holiday.
Oh, my God. Yeah. There's another good band.
It was a free show.
Yeah, that band.
Lydia, All the Day Holiday
is from, what is it? I think they're from Ohio.
It's something like that.
And Dan from that band is such a good dude. Like,
they have the weirdest setup live I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I saw them. We played with them. The first tattoo I ever got, we played a show in Terre Haute at a tattoo parlor that was opening up. It was us, All the Day Holiday, and the Red Racer.
Oh, God. Yeah.
That was one of my favorite shows of all time.
Yeah, it was a free show at this bar in Bloomington. It's Lydia on there.
Was it the Bishop?
Huh?
Was it the Bishop?
Yeah.
I've never been there. I hear that place.
I keep hearing good things about it. Carter went and saw
it. It was really not bad.
Well, sweet.
Lydia, on a sad note, Lydia wasn't as good live as they are on album.
See, I saw them in Covington, Kentucky one time.
Yeah.
And they were really, really good. I've only seen them once. I went to see them a second time open up for Spill Canvas. This is like 5 years ago.
It was really weird because members of Lydia will actually leave stage after songs and stuff.
Yeah.
It's
weird.
Yeah,
it's really weird. They
had like seven people in that.
Like the guitar, one of the guitar players would leave the stage, and the singer would play guitar and sing in a couple songs, and he would come back and play guitar again.
Like he would leave the stage and get a beer, and then come back for another song. It was weird.
It's really something that you don't really see too much.
Yeah. I didn't know whether I liked it or not. I was just like. It's kind of weird.
I think if you're on the Lydia train, you had that first record, and then you didn't care what they did. But now, since it's kind of like they've had some time to like,
they just couldn't get along. I don't think as a band,
Mini White is so hot though. And stuff.
Good lord. Anyways, marry me. But
I wanted to have a super group, and so that's
how this
I
is me. About.
And so
that's how that baby was born.
This is us. It's not like that's a misconception I want to clear up. Like a lot of people think now it's my band, but like I'm in the band, but like I couldn't. This band would be just me with a bunch of songs. Like without Carter's bass lines and like he brings like that whole old school like set your goals like lost for words sound.
He definitely brings the old like through being cool saves the day.
Yeah.
Nice.
Just straight ahead, just hard hitting pop punk. And I feel really weird playing bass in a band that he's in. Because he's such a better bass player than I will ever be.
Well, Carter just gets it done. Yari Nation is the only guitar player I know that's that good that honestly has no clue he's that good. He just thinks he's an awful guitar player and
he's a mediocre
songwriter at best. I'm like, you are so fucking wrong.
Yeah, he's like none of this stuff that I write makes sense. And I'm like, have you listened to the Radio Cambodia record? Have you listened to the stuff that you're playing?
Did you listen to something to call Hero?
Do you remember recording The World Can Wait?
And I'll be honest, like back in the Something to Call a Hero days, like I wasn't a huge fan. I liked him as dudes, but I mean, I was like, I don't know. Now later in life, knowing Yari and like, we often play like more often than not these days, we play some of his original songs, like Furry Fuzzy Things in our set, which is really rad. And that's something we've talked about as a band is bringing back songs that we used to play in our old bands, but as this band,
That's sweet.
Like play like an old track favorite, like an old Save a Sunday song, like all these, just bring
that's
back.
Awesome.
So, but yeah, in a nutshell, this is me.
That's
super cool. Super cool.
All right. Back to as Justin so eloquently put it earlier, the Dateline 2020 question.
This shit's deep.
Yeah. What was the first instance that you knew that you wanted to at least just play music? Not necessarily like get big, but you're like, wow, I want to do that.
Okay, you're going to laugh your asses off when I tell you this. And I tell people, mainly I tell Like other musicians, I don't tell this to because other musicians don't want to hear that this is why you started playing music. Girls, however, think it's sweet and endearing, so I'll tell the shit out of this.
Nice.
But the long and short of it is, I play music because I watched Back to the Future when I was 5 years old.
Yes,
dude right there.
Dude, I'm telling you, I'm telling you right now. This is the scene. All right, this is the Chad Lear story of how I got started. I was real, like, I was a funny kid, you know, like, kind of like I am now, like, awkward, funny, whatever. Mm-hmm. Long story short, my parents took me to go see Back to the Future in theaters. Yeah, I'm that old.
Right on.
I went there. Like, my social, I'm just saying my social security isn't coming through yet, but I'm also not going to deny that I hit up those early bird specials, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, if it's a matinee, I'm at it.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Right on.
But no, like, I saw Back to the Future, and I saw the Marty McFly character, and I was just like, here's this dude, can't fucking catch a break. Like, his family's, you know, like, hit or miss, and all he wants to do is love his girlfriend and play some fucking rock and roll. And I'm like, this is who I want to be. And so I'm not even going to lie. Like, I would watch and just watch over and over again that entire movie. And then also just, like, the Johnny B. Goode segment, you know? Like, why not? Like, and I was just like, this guy's just got it made.
I want to rock this hard.
Seriously, I was just like, I want a double cutaway semi-hollow body. And I want a Chuck Berry across the street here. And, like, why not? And so that's seriously... I wish it was grandiose. I wish I could tell you that I heard a song.
Dude, that is
my life.
Fucking grandiose.
That's why I play.
Dude, Back to the Future trilogy is best trilogy.
I'm not going to lie, and I'm not just saying this because I, you know, hold you as one of my dearest friends. I think that's probably the coolest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that is the coolest way I've ever heard.
I'm packing a half a pack of Rolaids right now. Man, I have got a chub, dude. Yeah, man.
I'm just saying, dude, that's it. Like,
that made me moist.
Then I started getting into bands, and my grandparents, like, my grandpa owns, to this day, my grandparents own one of the bigger trash, like, refuge services in our small town where I grew up in Nashville, Indiana, Brown County.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to, you know, like, when I got a little older, you know, he's like, Chad, come with me, you know, on the route. So I'd go on the trash route with him, and he would just play old 50s records. Like, 50s, like, A-tracks and, like, cassettes and everything. So, like, some of the first songs I learned how to play were just, like, you know, Dream Lover by Ricky Nelson and Traveling Man and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And then I started working with my dad, and he got me into, like, CCR and Led Zeppelin and Clapton and AC/DC. And so here I am with all my friends are into Bush and No Doubt and the Toadies and all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
I'm listening.
The Dandy Warhols.
Seriously. Concrete Blondes. Like, they're all into this stuff. And here I am on the opposite end, and I'm sitting there listening to, In Through the Outdoor by Led Zeppelin or Houses of the Holy, like, straight back to forth.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't play Glycerine until I was, like, in the second year of playing guitar. But I can tell you right now, I could play Black Dog like a motherfucker.
Nice!
Seriously.
Nice!
I would much prefer that.
Yeah, you came into my room in 19... Like, what? How old was it? 19... When I started playing. I started playing when I was 17. I gave up for a while. Started playing again when I was 19. So, if you came into my bedroom 1998... I was either playing Black Dog or I was playing some fucking Surf Wax America from Weezer.
Nice. I
fucking love the Blue Album.
Nice.
Bought it on vinyl the other day, like maybe a month or two ago.
Best decision you ever made?
Most expensive vinyl I've ever purchased, $31. But I'll take it. I'll take it.
No, I'll say, I've heard some ridiculous vinyl prices. Carter... yeah, that's right. I'm calling you out, bitch.
See?
he bought... Saves the Day, Stay What You Are. Or was it Stay What You Are? No, it was In Reverie. It was In Reverie,
yeah.
In Reverie. Guess how much he asked for?
$100.
$85.
Damn.
Oh, wow.
Dude,
that's too
through
much.
Being cool, Through Being Cool is going for like $120 online right now.
That's silly.
I got
that's
Stay
just
what
way
you,
too much.
I got Stay What You Are on vinyl for $11. I don't know how
I
got
love
it.
Vinyl.
It just happened.
I bought Bad Brain self-titled album
Word.
In Chicago. Probably the best hardcore album ever written. I personally think, you know, one of the best hardcore albums ever written. $16. And
bucks.
That's in Chicago.
That's pretty rad.
That's 16 bucks in Chicago, dude. Oh, yeah. That's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and it's brand new, you know, so.
Totally. Yeah.
That's a groundbreaking album.
Oh, definitely.
Honestly, like, that's a groundbreaking album.
It definitely wasn't without there.
In the hardcore scene in the 80s, I mean.
Yeah.
If that's going for $16, and don't get me wrong, I love Saves the Day.
Mm.
I don't understand how Saves the Day can go for 6-7 times.
I think it was because, like, that record, there was only, like, I don't even know how much, like, not even 1,000 or some shit like that.
And honestly, sometimes it doesn't boil down to the band making that call. It's the record labels that decide, whoa, this is a sought-out record. We're not going to repress it.
Right.
And now we're going to, you know, bank.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. That's something that really escapes me. And I'm a huge fan of Saves the Day.
And I can't.
But I still couldn't justify spending $120 on a Saves the Day vinyl.
I don't think there's anything I'd spend. I the other day I found Weezer Pinkerton for $55, and I was just I couldn't do it.
Yeah, no, I couldn't do it.
I love Pinkerton.
Yeah,
I love it. But the
truth about a record, and our friend Aaron Albritton said it best is a record sounds worse every time you listen to it. I mean, it gets worn. Every time you listen to a record, it gets worn.
Mm-hmm.
So spending more than $30 on a record, I think, is kind of foolish, honestly.
Yeah.
Because it will last you for a while, but it's not going to last you the duration of your life.
Yeah.
Unless you are keeping it, like, as just, like, a collector.
Yeah, right. Okay.
As a collector, that's kind of what I do.
I'm a collector, but I'm a listener. I love vinyl. Yeah. So I can't justify spending more than $30 on a record.
Yeah, if I'm at home, I'm not putting my iPhone on a dock. Like, I'm going to the record player. I mean, when I'm done, like, I do this thing right now.
It's right there.
I do this thing right now where I listen to... I try to read a book and a record at the same time. So, like, I'll go to the, like, Half Price Books and I'll pick out a record that I really want to get. Like, recently, I just got, the other day, I got Gladys Knight and the Pips on vinyl.
Nice.
Has one of my favorite songs of all time, Leave It on That Midnight Train to Georgia.
Midnight Train.
Best line in any song in that era. I'd rather live in his world than live without him in mine. Holy shit. That is so good.
That is
so good. I don't care if you're a slightly obese black woman, I'm still feeling you.
Oh, dude.
So, but then I'll read a book and listen to it. So But yeah, Back to the Future, that's my musical influence. Boom.
Super cool.
You know, I was kind of thinking of saving this to the end of the show, too, but we're kind of winding down to the end of the show, so it is kind of the end of the show.
Yeah.
Got a few more questions, but my question would be, answer, like, as vaguely as you can, your impression of the indie music scene right now, as it stands right now. What's your impression? And are you skeptical of the scene? Are you, what word am I looking for here? Optimistic? Just what's your general, like, view on the indie music scene right now as a whole? I'm not just talking about pop punk and hardcore.
Right.
Talking like
I've been in the music scene since like 2000.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've been playing. My first show was in 2000, so I'm almost in my 11th year of life.
And so yeah, you and I have been in the scene about the same time.
And so I mean. If anything, one of my first shows was Down on Haley, if anybody knows what I'm
talking about. Oh, I know Down on Haley.
So, all I'm saying is, I've been around for a while, and I will continue to, I'll quote Max Demas if say anything, I will continue to be an optimist, though it's hard.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie, the scene has been better in past years, I'll be honest. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the quality of bands, because there's always that handful of bands that rise above, and then there's those handful of bands that could be more if they gave it a shot, as far as just better musicians, better songwriters.
Yeah.
There's always the group of bands that play way too many shows.
Mm-hmm.
There's always this group of bands that you always leave when they play.
Right,
you
know?
All the caricatures are in place. All the players are in place.
Yeah.
Here's my problem. My problem right now is that we're on the upswing, but just because we're in a recession or just getting out of a recession doesn't mean anything. A recession is financial instability. It's not like your family instability. Right. And so Indianapolis needs to become a family again.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
We're starting to with these house shows and people, like, supporting and, like, this kind of stuff right here. Like, this podcast is a huge step in the direction that this scene needs.
That's what exactly
and the way I see it is you got to get family or you got to go home.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's all about, like, it's all about being tired from your work day or school or your girlfriend and boyfriend are being a dick and an asshole. Like, and it's like, I've got $5 and I got this house show I got to go to. And then all of a sudden, you grab onto your best friend or some guy you don't even fucking know, arm around him, and you're screaming the shit out of some Pessoa.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or you're foot stomping and throwing down to some Venable or something. Yeah. Like, it's all about that. And it's that, in that you just shake that person's hand next to you or high five people after you hear your favorite, you know, your favorite Pessoa song or Indian City Weather. You're just flowing, and all of a sudden, like, it makes you think, and you're loving life, and you're just like, this is awesome, you don't want it to end.
Mm-hmm.
Embrace that in a family-like setting, and we've got this shit made.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I don't care if we get, like, Death Cab for Cutie every 2 years in the town. I don't care if we're gonna get some big tour doesn't stop here and goes to Chicago. I don't care, but if we don't get family, we're gonna get gone.
That's true.
I mean, that's all.
We're not
going to
make a
dent
in shit if we don't get close. If we don't band together, we're gonna.
If someone from out of town, from out of the under the circle or on the circle, whatever. If one person goes to a show and doesn't feel embraced by song, music, singers, people, patrons, I don't care. If they don't feel like, all it takes is one person to go to a show and go, I have never felt like so engulfed in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that comes by you just being a good fucking dude or girl and just being like, let's rock and roll.
And that's exactly how I felt at Jared's birthday show at Aaron's Basement Show.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking kids just rushing the bands.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, just
piling on, singing along.
Yeah.
Kids that like it.
That's how every show, venue or house show should be.
Right. Yeah.
Kids should be out there.
Yeah, no matter who you
are. It doesn't even matter if you know the words.
Just go out there.
Fucking rush them.
Go out there and have fun.
Yeah.
Stage dives and high fives all night long.
Yeah. Stage jumps and fist bumps.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, the demise of this scene is going to continue if there are these bands that think they're better than everybody else.
Right. Uh-huh.
Which you can fuck yourself if you
no more plan. Goodbyes.
All you are.
Please drop the egos.
All I'm saying is just check in at the door. Like, we all have Twitter. Who cares that you're tweeting all day about your band? But, like, then you see, I'll say this, like, a band I've not heard you guys talk about, but, like, I'm friends with is News from Verona. They're on tour. They're hitting that Christian, you know, pop punk, like, indie rock sound. And go to it, man. There hasn't been a good Christian pop punk band in a while. Like,
I don't remember one.
You know, I'm just saying, Reliant K is the last one I remember.
Right.
I'm saying is, and they are doing, and those guys will give you the shirt off your back. And I'm telling you right now, like, those are some good dudes. I really enjoy their company.
I'm hearing a lot about Indian City Weather lately.
Oh, dude, absolutely.
I enjoy their music, but this past week I've been hearing a lot more about them.
Like, News from Verona did this yesterday. Didn't retweet anything. Put their own tweet and said, Indianapolis, because they're on tour, they're at Indianapolis. If you're in town, you need to be at the Indian City Weather. This is me show.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, that's cool. I haven't talked to them in a week.
Yeah.
I didn't tell them I had a show. They're not retweeting, oh, they have a show, retweet, or this. They are going out of their way as individuals to be like, check out this.
That's what people have been doing with this podcast that I've been pleasantly surprised with, too. People are banding together and, like,
Like, even kids
jumping on this podcast.
Kids that, like, I've never even met.
Yeah.
Are, like, coming up to me like, yo, dude, I'm loving what you guys are doing. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
Like,
you know already?
It's like, wow, how do you know about this?
And people are retweeting us on Twitter and stuff, I'm not going to be like, oh, we're on Twitter fucking shit up, but, you know. But it just shows, like, you know, we're coming together.
You know, between friends.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It just shows we're coming together and that people it gives me hope that people are really care about this music scene.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to do, and sometimes I feel single-handedly, but, like, for instance, like, you know, bands come to me more often than not and ask for my help with stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm not anything. I'm just a dude. And for some reason, I've had a lot of success with some catchy songs. That's all I know.
And, like, you did the song with Honors. You did Nubs Up.
Yeah. I mean, they approached me. And I have played with them one time.
Mm-hmm.
They are, I mean, I know, you know, I know Brett and I know Joey.
Yeah.
And those dudes have come to several of my shows
mm-hmm.
in different towns that they don't live in, you know, just to come and support.
Yeah, they're
and they asked me, like, pretty much via Twitter if I would help them, like, if I'd want to lay some guest vocals down. And it started as guest vocals, and it ended up being, like, I wrote the part that I sing and then did some harmonies here and a little rearranging there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I definitely just helped out, and I am so happy. I'll say this to this day. I say from the moment I started listening to that song, it is one of the best lines I never used in my own song. Like, I did that for a band about 4 years ago, and I wrote a line that said, I'm taking my time trying to find a way to make you stay because all I want is you. And that was my line I should have never given to another band. But then now this, if the phone ain't ringing, that's me not calling. Should have kept that for myself. But I'm all right because the way all the dudes are worth it.
I'm not even going to lie. The first time I heard that song and I heard that part and I go, Chad wrote that. He wrote that shit. Like, there's no way that fucking...
It's just... And the cool thing is they were into it. And then other bands, like, have asked me. Like, News from Verona is a band that, you know, I've helped out. Chris Boythley from Same as Sunday came over to my house once and was putting together pieces of songs and he'd need some help doing this. And I'm going to extend this. I'm going to kind of, I guess, use you guys tonight and just say, I do this because I want to bring people together like in family. I'm not doing this for my own personal gain because I don't see a dime or a dollar.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'll tell you right now, like, if you've got some ginger ale and some time, I'll help you write a song. Like, I'll help you produce. I'll produce
your
band.
That's what it's all about.
Like, if you think that I'm worth a damn and you want me to help your band out, I'll come to your band practice and I'll tell you what song's good and what's not, you know?
That's
I don't care. I'll do whatever it takes because that's what family does.
That's awesome.
Maybe I'm not coming over to helping you change a tire or helping you install the swing set for your little girl in the backyard, but that's still a family move. Like, I'll still come over and rearrange a song for you to make it poppier.
Right on.
Or I'll add some guest vocals to your song if you think that'll help you
totally
get out there a little bit better. I don't care. You know, I'll do whatever it takes because that's what family does.
Mm-hmm.
Same reason why you come up and sing with us.
Yeah, when I do, like, when the tough get going. Yeah, dude, I do it because I genuinely love the dudes and this is me. I genuinely, you know, think the song is amazing. I definitely want to, you know, add my little spice to it, you know, just to help get kids moving. And from what I can tell, like, you know, like, I can definitely tell, like, when I get up there, I'm not trying to sound like a cocky dick or anything, but, like, it just, like, everyone just starts going off super hard. Everybody gets just mad pumped.
Yeah.
I've seen kids circle pit to the little 4 year strong part in the middle. And I'm like, this is fucking cool. Like,
hell yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we got to wind the show down. We have spent a good time talking to you. Yeah, we're approaching that hour.
Oh yeah.
We'll actually get to the question of the day that we were supposed to have. We'll get to that next week.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Sorry
next.
About that.
We'll
all kind of just went and fucked around the whole.
Yeah, we'll get to that next week.
Yeah, we'll get that next week. Chad, dude, thanks for coming on, man.
It's real.
Thanks for letting me pop your guest's cherry.
Oh, dude, no
and
problem.
Before we sign off here, just let us know, like, you have another project called The Longest Winter, and just, you know, talk about that, like, you know.
The short version is, I just recently went through the worst breakup of my life, and even though, like, this beautiful woman and I are still, you know, very much good friends. It's tough. So instead of writing songs and being like all emotional and this is me, because this is me is supposed to be like fun. It's supposed to be like,
right,
you know, best friends high fiving with bandanas on her puppies and like,
yeah.
Instead of writing just these sad bastard songs, and plus as I get older, I've noticed my musical taste is starting to go more like, some people don't know who I'm talking about when I say this, but like, kind of that more Memphis, like Nashville, like sound, like Delta Spirit, Ryan Adams, the Racketeers, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of where some of my songs just start sounding like this, these bands that I'm listening to. And so all of a sudden, before I knew it, I had a 12-track concept album done.
Right on.
And I'm calling it Letters to Lynn, which is, Lynn is the middle name of the girl all these songs are about.
Right.
And it literally catalogs, in 12 songs, catalogs the moment I met her, to the moment we fell in love, to the in-between, to the demise. And I have got some of, I'm super grouping it again, and yeah. I have got some of, I'll keep it a surprise for now, but like, one of the people that just signed on to do it that I'm super stoked on is Casey Cole from The Inheritance, which this is an old school band. Like, I'm talking about like the late 90s, like,
no.
I mean, back when Ivy League was going on.
Yeah, I remember. Like, I remember
The Inheritance was like the, they were what I would consider to be one of the better indie rock bands. I mean, they had a girl in the band that played French horn and dulcimer.
Right.
Like,
right,
awesome. Oh, and so he signed on to do it. And then Jimmy King, the old bassist for
Jimmy's
Ghost,
doing it?
Ghost of Maine. Jimmy and his wife Jen just signed on. Jimmy's going to play bass, and Jen's playing cello and piano in the band.
Oh, that's right, awesome.
Right. And right, Casey plays, I'm just going to roll this out, and then this is all I'm going to say about The Longest Winter. Casey plays in songs accordion, lap steel, dulcimer, auto harp, harmonica, banjo, mandolin, and a little bit of electric organ.
Nice. Right on.
So
that's insane.
I can't wait to hear it.
That's just amazing. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's like the, it's that kind of stuff, you know, Justin was talking earlier. It's the kind of stuff you just sit on your porch and you drink a...
Drink High drink. Life.
Yeah.
Absorb.
You're just going to listen to
life,
it. And, you know, put that, yeah. And the thing is, I'm yeah. telling you right now, I'm never, in The Longest Winter, will never put out a CD. We're going to put online and vinyl only.
Right,
I'm not printing anything that's
a ballsy
not on
move,
vinyl.
And I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, so
yeah.
If,
yeah.
if you're a kid out there and you don't have vinyl, you better damn well hope you have iTunes.
Right on.
Because I'm
yeah.
not giving you a burnt CD. And I may make you a cassette tape.
Right.
Oh.
I might do it.
Right on.
But, we're recording constantly demos back and forth. We're kind of doing a postal service thing where I record a song on my iPhone, send it to Casey. Casey puts all of his stuff through his recording equipment down in Columbus, Indiana, sends it back to me, and I add more. It's
nice.
It's a lot of fun. And
that's
then,
awesome.
Like, I'm just really yeah. stoked for Jim and Jen King mm-hmm. on this. And then I won't say who is coming to the fold, but there might be some Same Sunday member. There might be an old My Hidden Track member.
Ooh.
There might be TGL members.
Ooh. Getting excited.
There's going to be a lot of... You're going to see a lot of bands that you have not seen play together, and it's going to be all for the greater good of Heartache.
Right on.
So
fantastic.
Fuck yeah.
Sounds great.
Fantastic.
Also, get on our Facebook and message us. Tell us when you have shows, and we will post that up for you.
Absolutely. The
yeah,
next
yeah,
This
yeah.
Is Me show is
yeah.
May 9th, and that's with 4 Year Strong
yeah.
at the Emerson.
Oh, we'll all be there.
And I'm telling you right now, that I think a couple of the bands have a few tickets left,
yeah.
but This Is Me played this game where we're waiting, and now that it's down to the 2 weeks before the show, we have all of our tickets available. Come and see us. We'll cut you a deal.
Right on.
Like, that way kids aren't stressing out, like, oh my God, where am I going to find a ticket? Well, you know what? Right. We held our tickets back, so now hit us up, Facebook, Twitter, personal
right
MySpaces, personal Facebooks, whatever, and we'll get you that ticket.
Right on.
Definitely contact those dudes for those tickets, man.
Yes. Seriously. Get the tickets. Go to the show. It's going to be insane. Dude, again, fucking rad of you to come on. Like, totally,
definitely.
Totally grateful. I'm glad you could be our first guest.
I definitely.
For sure.
I honestly
yeah.
could not have thought of a better guest
yeah.
to open up this
Seriously.
Show.
Well, I really appreciate
yeah.
it. And I hope you'll have me back.
Oh,
dude.
Definitely. That
definitely. Open like, invitation,
I'm
man.
Trying,
just bust the door in. New and over with
yeah.
the
just be like, oh, these
yeah.
guys are here. Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah. Exactly.
You guys go home. You guys go home. It's my turn.
Anything to close out, Jesse?
Just keep it real.
Yeah.
Keep it real.
And keep throwing us love and keep asking us questions and stuff, you know?
Yeah, keep throwing us on.
You know?
The support.
Thanks for all the band suggestions, seriously, this week.
Yeah,
yeah.
Keep
them
coming.
Yeah.
Keep the band suggestions
yeah.
up. We're definitely going to keep, you know, if we haven't heard them, we're definitely going to check them
yeah.
out. If we have heard them, you know, then we'll get to them. Do we have a guest next week?
Max Drexler from Million Productions.
Max Drexler from Million Productions. So
yeah.
anybody into the hip hop game,
yep.
definitely check that out. Our boy Max is going to be on here.
Yep, and we'll post shit
yeah.
about him this week too. You guys check him out.
Definitely.
He's going to be on next week.
Yeah.
anyways, that's about it. I think it's been a great show. This has been, you know, just spitballing, shooting the shit. It's been awesome. Thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah, Joe, close it out, man. All right, guys. Thanks again. And for Under the Circle, I've been Joe Harris.
Justin Staler.
Jesse Goforth.
And today, Chad Lear.
Have a good week, guys. Take it easy.